Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Time to answer your listener questions in the traditional way. We're heading to the inbox to see what you are looking forward to. But first, a word from our sponsor, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, as I glance down at my iPhone 7 Plus, man, it is sneaking up on us. I can see that we're down to only 140 days to go until Marathon Weekend 2018, going dopey for the third time, and it's going to be a great time. But are you getting your miles in? Kind of scary. You can count down to your next Walt Disney World vacation as well. Just go over to virtualmickey.com today, download Days to Go WDW, and then you can customize the app with your own pictures. You can customize the font, the colors. You can even get an audio alert each and every day at a certain time. It gets you so pumped up for that next Disney vacation. Do like I do. Drop by virtualmickey.com today and download Days to Go WDW.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1211 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rahman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. We're getting back to what we have done for years and years. We're going to the inbox for your listener questions sent in to Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll get to as many as we can in the next 35 or so minutes. But if you have a question or comment, send those in and we'll get to those right away. Joining me today to answer your listener questions, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
It's kind of hot here again. I don't know who turned on the furnace, but it's like hot and muggy all of a sudden, and I'm not used to it. I know that's weird coming from someone who lives in Atlanta, but it hasn't been like super hot and muggy here this summer, at least that I've noticed. So
yeah, I've had mornings where I've gotten up early and run, and it's like in the upper 50s. And you know what? For somebody that runs, that is ideal for August.
Yeah, that is ideal.
It's hot again, so it stinks. Oh well. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. And if you are watching the video feed, check out her shirt. It says, "Ask me about a Disney vacation." What's up, Pam Forrester? I'm asking.
I'm wearing my Disney apparel. And it is beautiful here in Pennsylvania. You know, I don't say that very often.
You do not.
It is absolutely beautiful. Hannah and I were walking to the park today, and I had on a light sweatshirt over my t-shirt. Wow. Seriously, it was that chilly. That's so crazy. Anyways, it's beautiful here. Having a good day. Just looking forward to talking some Disney.
That's right, and that's what we're going to do. So if you're joining us here live on Facebook, helps out with some answers, suggestions, and if you have a question, pop that up, and we'll try to get to maybe one or two from the live audience as well during today's show. Oh, and also, Pam, don't forget, my Cardinals will be in Pittsburgh this weekend playing your Bucks. Big series. We're both in the race now. We were terrible on it. I was joking on the podcast cruise about how everybody was wearing terrible baseball, like terrible team stuff, because like the Cardinals were terrible, the Reds, the Tigers. Everybody was terrible, but now like our division's so bad, we're all back in the race. So thanks, Cubs.
Well, that's good. And you saw that Steve refused to wear baseball stuff. He wore hockey stuff.
I saw that. Yeah, he's in a lot of pictures in his hockey stuff, by the way. Anyway, that was
he
a fun
loves
day.
That shirt.
that was a great day. All right, Matt Holly, my good buddy and fellow podcaster, has our first question of the day. It says, "Hello, BOGP crew. First off, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who participated in the Tiki Trot. That was a huge success, and from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate each and everyone that signed up and ran to remember Alan. Now, on to my first question. This will be my first run Disney event." He's talking about Wine and Dine. "And it's finally starting to sink in that I will finally get to run one of my dream races. But I'm also starting to realize that there is a whole other side of Disney that I have no clue about. First, my wife and kids, 7 and 3, will be down with me. Has anyone had any experience with trying to get multiple locations to see a runner on the course? I think you mentioned on a previous show that there really isn't many spots to do this. I'm pretty sure that the half will finish at Epcot. Will they need to be inside the park or will it finish outside the park? Since she will be there on her own with the kids, is it worth the extra cash for the cheer squad? Paying $49 for a 7 and 3-year-old seems a bit much. I'm excited to hopefully meet several lizards while down there. Thanks, Mike, Ricky, and Pam for the great shows, help, and information you have passed on to your listeners. Keep up the great work. And Matt's down in Garner, North Carolina, and host of the Tiki, Tiki Trot. It's the, I forgot the name of the show. It's Tiki, I'm on the spot now. Oh, I'll get it. We'll figure it out. I need to look it up on iTunes. I always see him right there on iTunes. Anyhow, so let's talk about a first Run Disney event. Matt, you're going to have a blast. I mean, these things are so much fun. And there's going to be tons of lizards at this race. As far as the cheering and trying to get around the course to see, you know, your wife and kids trying to see at multiple locations, I'm going to pass that off to Pam and Ricky because they are the expert cheers when it comes to it. But Wine and Dine is kind of a challenge, Pam, don't you think? As I recall, that course really does have limited spectating places, right?
It really does, and they really don't like you moving around on non-official locations at night. Yeah. That's kind of dangerous.
Well, it's in the morning now, but it's still the same thing. It's still kind of dark.
Yeah, right.
Sorry. Yeah, we're still used to it being at night, right? Yeah.
I am used to it being at night, actually. And then I was going to say you have to buy the after-party tickets. But it's still, I mean, it's challenging. Disney has really kind of discouraged folks from bouncing around to see their runners at different places. They've made it kind of difficult for us to do that. So I say pick one location and kind of stay with it. My biggest suggestion is always to use Disney transportation when possible, as opposed to driving, because it is kind of a challenge to get around during the race, unless you were already planning on being on the park at that time. But it is kind of challenging. And in the morning too, it's just best to take Disney transportation. That's actually the one time that my husband, who really kind of refuses to take Disney transportation, will take Disney transportation. So that's another good suggestion for you.
Ricky, any suggestions that you have from cheering? Because I'm with Matt. I wouldn't pay $49 for the cheer squad. I know some people do, but I just think that's money that could be spent at the expo or for maybe a nicer dinner while you're down. I don't know. That's my thought.
Right. So I'm looking up, and of course, Run Disney doesn't have anything on their page about the actual course yet, at least that I can find in the quick search that I'm doing. However, I did see that the race does seem to have, I think it has a change this year. It's starting from the Magic Kingdom parking lot, kind of like they did, I think, with Star Wars this year. So it is starting from the Magic Kingdom parking lot, and it's ending at Epcot this year. I don't know, since they don't have the map actually out yet, it's still a little hard to be able to pinpoint where the race is actually going to be run this year. So I think you're going to have to wait to see a little bit more information about where exactly this course is going to take guests. They don't open, as far as I remember. Now, I didn't run the race when it was in the morning. I ran it when it was night. So I don't know that they let guests into Epcot prior to, park opening. So they would have to be able to go to outside of Epcot to be able to see you finish. And I would not suggest, if you're not going to pay for the finishing, the cheer squad thing, I would not suggest they be at the absolute finish, because it's just utter chaos there. So maybe if they could move up a little bit, but right before you finish, then that'll be a good spot for them. I wouldn't be at the finish line exactly.
Yeah, I agree. So they're probably not going to finish the race inside the park. That's just a logistical nightmare.
It's going to be out of the parking lot. Always outside the park where they finish. They finish in the parking lot. So
So that way your wife and the kids wouldn't have to pay park admission to get in just to see you for that, but like Ricky said, there's a huge grandstand there at the finish line. But if you move up just maybe 100, 200 yards up, away from the finish line, but, earlier than the finish line, usually you can grab some fence and, you can go by and give your high five to your family and then get a picture of you, right at the last couple hundred meters of the race. That's a good bet, because, they could get up into the grandstand, but that's just one of those things you have to work a little bit harder for. So,
and like I said, it's still kind of all up in the air because they haven't released the course map yet, so that I can find. So until they do that, I really can't tell you anywhere else that your family could maybe see you at this point yet.
True. And just be flexible. But yeah, my best advice for folks that ask about seeing a runner at multiple locations on a half marathon, during the marathon, it's a different story because you're out there for at least 5 hours, so people have time to move around and you're going through all four parks. You got the TTC, you got all kinds of stuff. But with a half marathon, most people are going to be done in like 2 hours, a little bit more, maybe 3 hours. you're going to take a lot of time in transportation. So you want to count on one good spot, you know, like one agreed upon spot, and anything else would be gravy. But it's going to be hard to do too. I know some people try to see at the beginning and the end, but even that's tough, you know, so just keep that. All right. Next question. We're going to head out to Sue. She's in Pennsylvania, but she doesn't say where, Pam. So I can't ask if she lives by it. It stinks. But I says, hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Could you tell me more about your day in Grand Cayman from your recent cruise? We're going on our first Disney cruise in April of 2018 and not sure how to spend the day. It's me, my husband, and my two 20-something sons. Thanks and love the podcast. All right. Ricky, tell about the day in Grand Cayman. First of all, let's talk about those real lizards. Those things were Mexican chickens, man. They were like 2 feet long. That's what they called them, Mexican chickens.
They did. They called them Mexican chickens. Those were humongous lizards, I'm just going to say. Like, humongous. And for the lizards who I tried to take a picture. I know Paige has a picture, and I'm hoping it's better than mine. But they had a street named Lizard Run, and I was like, that's so awesome. So I think Paige has a better picture, and I'm hoping she does because she needs to share that with me. So get on Paige to do that.
I'll have to ask her.
Yeah. So anyway, we went to a place called Calico Jack's Bar and Grill. This really is a bar on the beach. So, I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is a bar on the beach. Brian loved that fact because he still to this day is talking about how cool it was to be at a bar on the beach.
And it was literally 50. I mean, you're talking like maybe 20 yards from the water, maybe 30 yards when you're sitting at the bar. I mean, it is right on the water. It couldn't be closer.
The water was kind of lapping up to us as we were sitting at the table. I mean,
yes. So it's not like a fancy place, I will say that. Like, it's not like there's a lot of activity to do there. It's mostly you're going to kind of get in the water and then get food and or beverages. So that's kind of what we did anyway. So they did warn us, though, if you go to Calico Jack's, don't go to the left.
I still remember that. Yeah, don't do that.
Keep that in mind. Don't let anybody to the left try and sway you over to the left. So
because they try to really, I mean, like, I think they hardcore sell you on, like, umbrellas and beach chairs and stuff. And that was the folks that are, like, I guess, unsanctioned by the place. I guess maybe their property ends at that point. That's what we kind of all bought a package or something where we got a little van to take us down to Calico Jack's. It's on 7 Mile Beach in Grand Cayman, and they'll drop you off at a lot of different places. But it worked out fine for us. I mean, we got a lot of time in the water. I mean, the wings were good, you know, drinks
were good.
Yeah. I mean, Pam, what'd you think? I think Paige and Hannah had a good time too.
They did. I agree. Like, we were really funny on this cruise because we didn't plan much in advance.
Nope.
And we were really all content with just going and hanging out at the beach, which is kind of a fun way to spend the day, to tell you the truth. We spent a lot of time in the ocean. Yes, we came back very tan, I will say. I came back very tan. But this was just a very casual bar. It was really a fun day. The food was good. They had beer, they had all kinds of drinks you could order. And Hannah and Paige actually took a great picture on that beach.
They
That's
did.
Where that picture is of the two of them having
it's
a good time.
It's adorable. I love that picture.
Anyways, yeah, me too. But I mean, it was, for me, it was just one of those places that's a great memory. Don't go expecting anything like super organized or,
right,
you know, ritzy or anything like that. You're not going to find that. But if you just want to hang out in the beach and hang out in the water, I mean, I'll tell you what, a good vacation is a vacation where you know you spent a lot of time in the ocean drinking a drink. So
correct.
You're not going to say check on that.
We had both of those really well at Calico Jack's. So
it was good, yeah.
And there are lots of kind of places like that on 7 Mile Beach. You don't just have to go to Calico Jack's. Sure. You know, you can do a little search online. Just look at 7 Mile Beach, Grand Cayman. But what you're going to do is basically just hire like a taxi driver. They'll put you in a minivan with maybe, I think we had about 20 people. I took a selfie of like everybody in the van.
Yeah.
Everybody, we're getting ready to go down there. And, you know, it's fine. You know, he kept trying to, but it started raining. He wanted to take us. Where do you want to take us? Like, we had to tell him, no.
We wanted to go on a longer drive, and we were like, we don't know.
No, he wanted
to go in the ocean.
He wanted to take us to hell. Remember? He kept saying,
oh, yeah, because yeah, it was raining. Right, he did. Yes. And we were like, no.
That was going to be for an added fee, I'm saying.
Yeah,
like, sure. That would have been collected once we were there.
Yes.
Yeah,
no,
like,
just take us to the beach.
That's what I said. I was like, no, thanks. I do not want to go to hell today. I'd like to go to the beach. I remember that. I was like, what? This is irony, man. I was like, this is just because
I've been there and it doesn't look like this. It's sort of like when your computer's not working right.
Nice. All right. Andrew's got the next question. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. And he says, WDW first timers trip question. My wife and I are going to the world for our first time next month for my 30th birthday. We've lived in Los Angeles our entire lives and have only known Disneyland and DCA. We have designated 2 evenings to spend at Epcot for food and wine and did not make ADRs those nights because we plan to eat at a bunch of marketplaces around World Showcase. Are there any romantic spots around World Showcase that you would suggest that my wife and I could stop and relax at? Tops of trash cans are okay, as long as there's an awesome view involved. Also, do you have any other tips for Disneyland kids going to Walt Disney World for the first time? Cheers and thank you guys for all that you do each week, Andrew. You know what, Ricky? I mean, we are the podcast of Is This Romantic or Not? I mean, we've kind of taken the
internet
by storm.
We are the Is This Romantic podcast. And, you know, being on a trash can can be romantic, I guess. So.
Maybe a trash can in Paris, you know, in France, at Epcot. I don't know. So what do you suggest, though? I mean, I can't imagine, like, they have a lot of experience with the West Coast. But now heading down to Florida, man, that's going to be, wow, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, really, it's kind of, I'll say this because it's just me and Brian on a lot of trips. You know, romance is what you make of it. So if you can make, you know, a trash can romantic, I mean, that's good. So, I will say, you know, maybe travel the streets of Morocco or travel along in the France pavilion, a little bit. I think that those have, some of the better kind of streets that you can walk through. You've got the garden in the back in the UK too, which is kind of quiet. So those are some kind of areas that I would maybe suggest. As far as Disneyland first timers to Walt Disney World, oh, man, you're gonna have so much fun.
But would it be maybe that Walt Disney World, and he says he didn't make ADRs for those 2 nights at Epcot because they're going to go to the marketplaces, which I think is it's a good idea, if, you know, as long as you are patient and have a good time with that. But I think you do need to have more of a plan going into Walt Disney World than Disneyland. It's not so much of a spontaneous experience as Disneyland, right?
Exactly. Especially with something like Food and Wine, because there's so much to do at Food and Wine. I'm glad you're doing 2 days because that's going to be good. Make sure you check out the Wonders of Life Pavilion, or I guess I should say the Festival Pavilion now, or whatever they're calling it this weekend, because they have a lot of really cool stuff in there too. They have obviously merchandise. There's the Ghirardelli booth that's in there that they have the delicious drinking chocolate, but they also have some really cool sculptures that are made from chocolate in there as well. You've got you've got all the seminars. If you want to like take part in one of the cheaper seminars, you can sign up for that. You need to do that ahead of time usually. Even the free seminars that they have, still to this day, Brian talks about how the fact that we learned about chickens at Epcot, and he kind of wants a chicken now. So,
an American chicken or a Mexican chicken?
Yeah, no, not a Mexican chicken, a real chicken. So, I mean, you'd be surprised as to kind of the fun that you can just you have to kind of know what exists and have a general plan of that. And I would definitely check out Total Plug, The Mouse for Less. I keep up all that information about the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. I'm working diligently as ever as soon as the festival information gets, you know, out there. So that'll be out at the end of the month. Can't believe it. I'm just going to say.
Holy cow. A couple weeks.
Not too long.
It's almost
a couple weeks. Yeah.
Boo to you. Anyway, Todd, Chef Todd in the chat, says, you know, go down to that lower level at the Yorkshire fish and chip stand. That's a great place to go. A lot of people don't know about that. I would also say wander back if you're looking for a place to kind of hide out. France, kind of by the International Gateway.
Yeah.
There's like a little open area that most people don't go back that far. So I would check that out. And two other things just to not discount. Don't discount enjoying the Walt Disney World transportation system. I'm not talking the buses, but the boats, the monorails, soon to be gondolas. And also, don't discount the studios. Just because it's getting a bad rap now, you can still have a lot of fun at the studios. Don't skip it. Even though we're missing kind of a big attraction nowadays. Pam, what do you say? Because you've been to both many, many times, going from the west to the east. First time, what do you think?
So I just want to add one more tip for the Food and Wine Festival, because it's an important one. I know you said that they're going to be devoting two evenings to it, but if you can, one of those days, get there right at 11 o'clock when the festival starts. You will save yourself a lot of time waiting in line. As the evening progresses, the lines get longer at all those Food and Wine Festival booths. So anyways, I would focus a lot of time on attractions maybe that you know but are different. Do a little comparison of Pirates of the Caribbean, Small World, Haunted Mansion. I'm sorry if all the Walt Disney World ones kind of pale in comparison, but they do. Let's just say Disneyland has a better version of those.
Except maybe the Haunted Mansion. I think ours beats theirs. Unless it's not Nightmare Before Christmas time, and then I don't know, because I haven't seen that yet. So
I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, so think about those, I think. And then one thing that you'll really appreciate about Walt Disney World is that there are so many different resorts available. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's worth mentioning, because it's cool to see all those different resorts, and they are so themed. Like, I think the Grand Californian is a very themed resort. And I like Disneyland because it has a very nostalgic feel to me. But when you look at the different resorts that are there on Walt Disney World property, you have, you know, the original ones from the Contemporary to the Polynesian, but then you also have like the Grand Floridian, and so many even of the moderates are so well themed, the Yacht and Beach Club. And if you're looking for good places to eat, you can often get table service there. You can make your dining arrangements at many of the resort restaurants much later on than you can, you know, make them at the theme parks. And then the other thing I will say is, because you're coming from Disneyland, your Walt Disney World trip is going to take a lot more planning. I'll just say that right up front.
Yeah.
Restaurants book up. I mean, really and truly, yep, book up way in advance. So keep all that into consideration.
And I think Gilson has a great point in the chat saying that Boardwalk at Night's very romantic. And again, you know, if you've never been to Walt Disney World, you might not realize how easy that is to get to from Epcot. I mean, just walk out the International Gateway. You're there in 5 minutes. You can get ice cream. They have carnival foods. They even have, especially during the evenings of the Food and Wine Festival, when it tends to be more, you know, there's more people in the Epcot Resort area. They're going to have live entertainment on the boardwalk in the, you know, certain evenings. It's just a great place to go. You know, you go.
Plus, you're forgetting one of my favorite locations, Flying Fish, yeah, which actually I've been craving so hard. I've actually looked at flights to go down this weekend many, many times, and it may still happen.
So. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
I'm just like, Steve, we're going out to eat. Say where, and I'll be like, Flying Fish,
and he'll be like,
pack a bag.
Ricky, that's the difference between Pam and I. I go to Taco Bell. When I go out to eat, she goes to Flying Fish. You know,
she goes to Flying Fish. Exactly. She books a trip down to go to Flying Fish.
Hey, man, I'm probably going to Cooper's Hawk here in a couple weeks.
Yes.
That's my plan. Or maybe that Mexican place we didn't get into because the wait was too long last year. We'll have to try it.
That's right.
What's it called? Chewy's? I think give that a shot this year. Anyway, next question is from Robert, and he says, hello, Pam, Ricky, and Mike. The title of this one is Split Stay and Memory Maker. Longtime listener, first time writer. I come bearing questions. On our next trip, we are going to channel our inner Pam and do a split stay. We are going.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to say he was going to channel his inner Pam and go to Flying Fish. He's from Washington. I was like, that's a long flight to go get dinner. I mean, Pam's a little crazy, but cross country, I don't know. Anyway, so he says, we're going to do a split stay. We're going to stay 2 nights at Pop Century and then move to have 3 nights at the Boardwalk. How does a split stay affect Memory Maker? Between all of us in the group, we are going to be running all of the dark side races and want to make sure to get all of the pictures. Do we wait till we get to the boardwalk before activating Memory Maker, or is Memory Maker based on park ticket media? Or do I need to purchase for each part of our stay? Help me, BOGP. You are my only hope. I love that. Robert's up in Puyallup, Washington. All right, Ricky, I think you are our go-to person for Memory Maker. So, how's that work? Split stay. What's it going to do?
So I believe that you should you should definitely put it in before you get to Walt Disney World. You should buy it before you get to Walt Disney World, I should say, because if you buy it after you get there, you won't have like the first 3 days of your pictures. So
you have to pay more.
Oh, that's right. You have to pay more to get the first 3 days of your pictures. Right. They'll get you one way or another. So you definitely want to make sure you buy it ahead of time. Now, it doesn't start until you actually use it the first time. So just keep that in mind. And Pam, it's good for what, 14 days? Is that what it's good for? Does it have a time limit on it? I don't know because I have the annual pass, so it's hard for me to judge that. I don't remember anymore. Do you remember if it has a...
I think that you'll be fine for your length of stay.
Yeah.
It's actually 30 days that's worth of unlimited photos ahead of time. And it actually starts activating when you download it, I believe. Cool. Your first download. So
that could be it too. Yes. It's been a while since I've actually, you know, had it in the old format instead of, you know, it's just on my annual pass, so I get it automatically. Right. So you definitely, I mean, it should work for all of your races. The one thing to keep in mind, it won't show up automatically. You will have to go to the website, I think, and usually the map or the booklet that they give out for the races will tell you the instructions. But you'll have to put in like there's a special code, and then you'll have to put in your race number or something like that with it. So just keep that in mind in order to get those pictures.
Sometimes it's on the back of your bib. So watch. Yeah, it's been there at least once. The code.
Yeah.
All right. So real quick, JR's got a question here in the chat, Ricky. And I don't know if we know this because Ricky, Disney doesn't tell us this stuff. But what's your best guess? He's asking, when do we think the Pop Century, all the rooms will be refurbed to the new rooms? We're about 40%. I mean, I'm guessing from what I'm hearing, a couple of the decades are done. What are you hearing?
So according to Disney's, and of course this can change, I've seen that it's supposed to be done by May of next year. But again, it's Disney, so things like that can change. But I have seen the date of May be thrown around.
All right, good enough. All right, Colleen's got the next question. She's in Boston, Massachusetts, where hopefully my Cardinals have swept the Red Sox by now, or at least we're getting ready to sweep the Red Sox this evening. No, we'll see. It's going to be a battle at Fenway. I'm excited for this. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, my sister and I are headed down to the world for a few days to celebrate her 21st birthday in October. We're planning on going to Trader Sam's at some point and had a few questions. What could go wrong with a 21st birthday in Trader Sam's?
Right.
Nothing. It's Disney, right? Number one, what are your favorite drinks and favorite souvenir glasses there? As it is her 21st birthday, this will be my sister's first real interactions with alcohol. Yeah, right. That's what you think. No, I thought that about.
That's so nice.
No, I'm just saying. I thought that about Paige till Pam told me, you know, that's probably not going to be her first drink on her 21st birthday. So, yeah.
Also, you know, Paige had a few drinks on the cruise afterwards. Not on the ship, I will say that. But, you know, it's
Ricky, important. You don't need to call her out.
No, come on. Come on. Anyway, so she's looking for drinks on the lighter side at Trader Sam's. I've only had a couple because I'll tell you what, they're expensive. Yeah. I got one souvenir glass and we got something called the Uh-Oa. And it's I think it was like a shared drink. I think it's smoked. It was like right when Trader Sam's opened at Walt Disney World. I have it on the shelf right over there, but that was anything I get, it's not going to be like real hardcore. I'm kind of a lighter, like fruity type drinker. I know. I like margaritas and stuff like that. Tropical stuff. Pam, what do you suggest? Anything? What about that? Everybody wants the Nautilus, but that's an expensive.
I know
one.
Everyone wants the Nautilus, but it's actually really pricey. And I will say, you know, even the drink actually that I think is the best for folks who aren't really typical drinkers is the tiki rum, because it's really you know, a light rum along with some pineapple and orange juices. Now, it does not come in a souvenir glass, but if you wanted them to, I bet they would put that bad boy in one of the glasses, you know, and sell it to you. Or you can buy glasses, you know, you can buy glasses there, whatever glass you want. You don't have to, you know, do that. So I think that's one of the lighter, at least tasting drinks in that kind of respect. The cool thing about ordering one of their featured drinks, which is, you know, kind of like the Shrunken Head Zombie or the Polynesian Pearl, That's another one that's kind of like the Polynesian Pearl, because it's rum chata and Grand Marnier, and with some tropical juices. It's not anything that's super heavy too. Or the Nautilus or the Aoa, is that something kind of cool happens in the room when you order those drinks. But you know what? The great thing is, once you're in Trader Sam's, you'll see all exactly. those things happen many, many times during your time sitting there.
Yes, you will.
So think of that. You know, I will say, Hannah celebrated her 21st at Walt Disney World. And one of the things I will say is, I think that you want to, wherever you are getting a drink, maybe get something to eat with it, I think. Yes. And always get a glass of water.
Correct. So just good mom tips. Good mom tips. I like
these
it.
These yes. mom tips. Like, Steve and I were in the area while they were down there celebrating, and Paige was there too, and a couple of other of Hannah's friends. But we did not spend all the time with them. But I did pop in every now and then to be like, why don't you get some water? How about something to eat?
Tacos something and water. Like hydrate and get some protein.
That's right. So there's my mom tips for the day.
Yeah. All right. You kind of answered her second question. She says, are there souvenir glasses available for purchase at the Poly if we decide to order drinks that don't come with them? Or can I order something like a margarita and ask to purchase a souvenir glass with it while at Trader Sam's? So, Pam, you said that's fine, right? They'll hook you up as long as you're willing to buy it.
Sure they will. I mean, hello. They want you to pay $15 or $20 for that glass.
I know. So. And I'm always like, get away from that shelf. I got the Uh-Oh glass up there. That thing cost $1 million. Don't freaks everybody out. You can't even walk within a 5-foot radius of the thing. I'm like, back off. That thing's ceramic. It'll break. Because, of course, I'm down here with all the toys. Anyway, number three, the third question out of three. Any other pieces of advice? We're thinking about going on Saturday, October 21st. The plan for the day is Magic Kingdom in the morning until around 3. We have a Be Our Guest reservation at 11. Then heading to the Polynesian so that we can hit Trader Sam's when it opens at 4 to hopefully avoid a long wait. Then heading to Hollywood Studios for Pizza Rizzo Star Tours and Toy Story Midway Mania. Thanks for all you do, and congratulations on the successful fundraiser for Give Kids the World. Woo, thanks, Colleen. She's up in Boston. Okay, here's the only thing I would switch up in that plan. Love it, Magic Kingdom, have some fun, be our guest, great experience. Avoid the crowds, call it happy hour. You call it her first happy hour at 4 o'clock at Trader Sam's. Drop Pizza Rizzo, though. You know, do something like the Brown Derby Lounge. I'm just saying. I mean, maybe you really like Pizza Rizzo. Maybe you like eating, you know, pizza with rats. I don't know. I would, you know, go somewhere like the Brown Derby Lounge at the or Tune-In Lounge or, you know, some. It's your 21st birthday. Pam, you agree? I mean, is that something to think about?
Yeah, absolutely. I just think, like, if you aren't looking for a heavy meal, it's so easy, I think, to have a light meal at one of the lounges. First of all, Brown Derby Lounge is all like appetizers, tapas kind of thing. And even the Tune-In Lounge, you know, connected right there to the 50s primetime, even if you don't want a full meal, you can sit at the bar, you could order a full meal, you could order just appetizers, you could do whatever you want. And I think that's the way to go too. But Pizza Rizzo, I mean, I know that Disney has to have this because there's a lot of kids who are like, I want pizza. So, I mean, I absolutely know why that went in. I love that there's a nod to the Muppets there. So go in. If you're a Muppet fan, go in, walk through it. But I would not eat there.
Go in, walk through it. Do not consume it is what you're basically saying. Go in, walk through it, but do not consume it.
There's rats.
I know, seriously. Ricky, I know you're a fan of the place. So am I dogging on you? Because I know you like a little Pizza Rizzo.
I do. I actually just ate there. So, yes, I did. I'm going to have a blog post.
Nothing from this podcast.
I'm going to have a blog post for Mastrella soon. So, anyway, I mean, I don't hate Pizza Rizzo's pizza. So, I know it's not the best. Trust me. There's
DiGiorno or something.
I know there's better pizza at Walt Disney World. I get it. But for some stupid reason, I like going to Pizza Rizzo and before that Pizza Planet. But anyway, that's probably just the nostalgic in me. So I was going to suggest, depending on when it is, maybe if you don't want to go to Pizza Rizzo, you could check out, because the Baseline Tavern, or whatever they're going to call it.
I
think they're calling it Tap House. Yeah, that's why I was like, am I saying that right or am I making something up? So that sounds a little fishy. But anyway, so you might want to, it is, yeah. So you might want to try that out potentially too, because that's going to have like, kind of appetizer-y type options for you as well. You know, they're going to have I think they said a beer cheese and pretzel combination and a charcuterie board and stuff like that, I think is what some of the things that they've mentioned. So there's no date on when that's going to open, but, that's something to consider as well. But if you really have your heart set on Pizza Rizzo, don't let these two dissuade you from eating at Pizza Rizzo. I went up there. I had a good time. You know what I did? We went into the wedding reception room, and we jammed out to the music in
that
there. I can only imagine how much fun that would be with a little alcohol involved.
Exactly.
But I might suggest... definitely get food before you go on Star Tours. That's all I'm saying.
No, ride Star Tours before you start any of this. That's my advice.
Yeah, she's thinking about going there after Trader Sam's.
After all the drinking. So I suggest at least get some food in your stomach before going on Star Tours.
That's a good point. That's another bad idea. Don't do Star Tours after, especially if you're just starting to get your first taste of alcohol.
Yeah. Sorry, we just changed around your whole itinerary.
We laugh because we care. We want you to have
a happy
time.
Right. And we know.
All right, real quick. We're going to get two more questions in real quick before we get out of here. One from the chat. Donnie's asking if it's okay to go over to Art of Animation just to visit all the Cars stuff that's in the themed area by the Cars Family Suites. Pam, this is Disney wants you to do that. They want you to go around and tour the other resorts. No problem at all, right?
Absolutely. Now, yes, you'll be able to go see all the Cars stuff and visit the other areas too, the Nemo area and the Lion King area, and even walk down to where the Little Mermaid is, where she's in the regular rooms. The only thing you won't be able to do is, of course, go in the pool area. And this is, of course, Disney has been coding the Magic Band so that you have to tap actually to get into many of the pool areas at this point, or there's a guard there checking or someone who comes around. So you won't be able to use the pool area, but you can certainly actually go in the restaurant and order something there. In fact, if you're going around mealtime, Landscape of Flavor is good. So I would make it a point actually to go there around a mealtime because I think they have a great selection. They have some things that you don't see other places, and that's really cool too. And they have an eating area, not just the indoor eating area, but they have some tables outside too, which is a great location too. So go and enjoy.
Absolutely.
And if you have a Cars fan, as of right now, I don't know when you're going, but you want to make sure you go to Disney's Hollywood Studios because Cruz Ramirez is there over by Toy Story Mania right now. So depending on when you're going, you might be able to meet Cruz Ramirez, which is kind of exciting.
Nice.
Very cool.
You want another fun fact about Cars movies?
Okay. Yes, I saw it. Yes, I saw what you tweeted.
I shared it. That's right. Every year that a Cars movie is released, the Cardinals win the World Series. Just saying.
They do.
1, 2, and 3. We're going to win this year. The 1 year we were terrible, but we got hot in the playoffs. I know I've put a lot of baseball into this show, but we're like almost in first place again, so I can't help it. We have rally cat fever around these parts.
We do have rally cat fever. And he said they're going in September, so I would assume that the Cruz Ramirez would still be there. But there's no like set time on when she's supposed to leave, so you know, just know that there's a chance that she might not be there anymore, but I would assume that she probably will still be there.
All right, let's hit the last question today. It's from Amy. He says, Hi, I've recently found your podcast and I love it. I drive a lot for work, so I really enjoy all the trip reports and helpful tips that help me pass the time. I'm planning a trip to Walt Disney World in February, and I've done tons of research. I'll be traveling with my mom, my six-year-old son, my three-year-old daughter, and my four-month-old infant the infant's due this fall. Because it says 3-4. So I was like, okay, how do you have I get it. She hasn't had the baby yet. Okay, I'm just sorry. I'm a guy. I mean, I was like, wait a second. We have fractions. What happened here?
Nine months minus 2 months equals 1.
Just like that's too confusing. When you're reading these things on the spot, man, that's not easy. We are planning on a fun week with lots of character meals and extras for the kids. I currently have a room booked at the Contemporary, and I've chosen that location primarily based on location. I'm trying to make things as easy as possible with a small baby. My question for you guys is about room selection. I originally had a theme park view tower room booked, but then I discovered the deluxe garden wing rooms. They look so much bigger, and I thought that would be a help with all the baby gear that we'll be bringing. There are only 3 of these rooms, so I was happy to snatch one up, but I've read so many negative reviews about the garden wing. I'm saving money with this room choice, and is it bigger? Will we miss out not being in the main building and having the theme park view? What is the atmosphere like from the garden wing? Also, what's the likelihood that this room will be available for any promotions that may be released this fall? Thanks so much. Keep up the good work, Amy. All right, Pam, I've never stayed at the Contemporary, one of the few resorts that I have not experienced firsthand. So what tips would you offer? Because it sounds like she's in this conundrum where The garden wing might offer her more space, but she feels like, I think she's saying that she won't get the contemporary experience if she's not in the tower, especially since she had a theme park view room. What do you think?
Oh, that's really, really challenging for me to say, because I think that the contemporary has one of those views that's really kind of spectacular. That's all. I mean, that's really what I will say about it. It's really, and although other rooms at different resorts can have a theme park view, the theme park view from the contemporary is really beyond compare. You really feel like you're kind of there at the contemporary. So that's really, really so challenging for me to say. I understand your want to have a little more space. Because the contemporary has the largest standard rooms, I almost would lean to going back to the theme park room. You know, the other thing you can do is just wait until discounts come out and see what's available. Because I can't predict that one is going to have more availability than the other. Although I will say I've seen theme park view rooms have more availability with the discount than the deluxe garden viewing rooms. But each trip is different, and you're just going to have to see what's available for your dates when and if those discounts do become available. So I can't speculate on that. You just have to decide if a little bit of extra room is worth giving up that view. I mean, that view, hello, you can see the castle and Astro Orbiter and Big Thunder Mountain, and you kind of feel like at times you're there. Like you can hear the entertainment and the train and all of that. So those are all things that you have to feel. Now, as far as, the being outside of the resort, you will have to walk into the resort and then take an elevator or escalator to get to like the monorail and the eating locations and stuff like that within the resort. It isn't like being at the main building, but to me, that's not a huge deal breaker for me. It's more about the view. When I can lay in bed and see Cinderella's castle, hello, that is what you call a view. So that's why I lean more toward that. But seriously, I know you're saving money too. So, I mean, I get it.
I think that, you know, she's doing the right thing. Like with being at the contemporary, with the focus being on character meals and being close to the Magic Kingdom with the kids, you're there, like you're close. But I tend to, if I was going to go one way or the other, it sounds like she's semi regretting, like already not having that theme park tower experience,
yeah.
You know, and I don't want you to miss out on that because you're like, room might give me, you know, 20 more square feet, because those rooms are big in the deluxe resorts. I think you're going to be fine on the space once you get in there and kind of set yourself up. You know, I know it sounds small at the time, but, you know, you're pretty efficient in your use of stuff on a vacation. And like Pam said, I mean, there's only so many places you can do what you can do with a theme park tower view, tower room at the Contemporary. So I would say go for it. Yeah. All right, well, that's going to wrap it for today's listener questions. Keep sending those to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll get to those right away. Today's show, of course, brought to you by our friends over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. And Ricky, one of the things I read about earlier this week on Theme Park News, Disney Edition, was the last ride on Ellen's Energy Adventure ending in an evacuation. And everybody got to go up and do selfies with dinosaurs and stuff. What's up with that? Was that on purpose?
No, I don't think it was on purpose. I was watching a little bit, and I think that ride was having a little bit of a issue yesterday. So all day, not just for the last ride, but it is kind of, of course it, evac'd for the last ride. But at least they got some cool, like, experiences after, you know, they got evac'd. I mean, that's kind of cool. So, That happened.
Talk about an attraction limping to the finish line. That's it right there.
Right, exactly. That poor attraction. it just was like, I don't want to go anymore. Please put me out of my misery.
That's like those stories you see every once in a while on social media of like a runner giving up their first place finish to like help a struggling runner across the line. I mean,
they're not doing it to make themselves look good. No. They're doing it because, I don't want to.
That would have been like Mission Space coming over and putting their arm around Ellen's and like, we're just going to get you there, man. You just got to get these people to the Jeopardy scene, and then you're retired. You're done. You just go to the old folks' home. Anyway.
I didn't get there.
Yeah, I know. I didn't. I tried, though. But hey, other great stories you want to be entertained about the crazy stuff that happens in the Disney universe.
There's some crazy stuff.
There's plenty. Theme Park News Disney Edition. Turn your Apple device into a Disney device today. Free app for your Apple device. Check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. please do when you shop online. Kids are going back to school. Our kids here in our district have been back in school now for 2 weeks. But I know that our folks, our friends over on the East Coast are just now starting to think about going back to school. When you're doing that online shopping, spirals, pencils, mechanical pencils, locker decorations, bags of Purell, whatever you need, it's all on Amazon. And go through, and you don't have to go fight the crowds at Target and, you know, wherever you're going. Amazon.com, or actually go to brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Support the show. Get your stuff. It's a win-win. We get a little kickback. You don't have to fight the crowds. You get everything you need. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at brguestmike. Great Facebook page at facebook.com/brguestpodcast. Come on over and like the page. You'll get notifications every time we go live, which we're doing more and more each and every day. All right, so it's time to get out of here and let you get on with your Wednesday. We'll be back again on Friday talking about the next three. What's that mean? Oh, it's called a teaser. You have to be here Friday to find out. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you an awesome Wednesday. Time to get back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.